Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Your package says delivered, but delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit the upsstore.com/offer.
Nothing at all has happened since the last episode of Flight Plan. The Knicks are NBA champions for the first time in 53 years. The World Cup is taking over North America. And the Jets had mandatory minicamp, at least two-thirds of it, before they were canceled today. But we will get to all of that. We're going to talk about Joe Tippmann's deal. That got done, some injuries, who stood out in camp, and also position battles as we look ahead, because the break is here, right? The one little break in the NFL season is upon us. Zach's going to sit on his couch for the next 30 days, order takeout. It's going to be great. But I'll start here. Paul, you're wearing the T-shirt. The Knicks are champions. I will say, I've lived in New York for 15 years. There hasn't really been a champion until now, which is wild. Like, the Yankees won in 2009, and I moved here in 2010. There's been, like, NYFC won. You know, like little stuff
York
like
Liberty,
that.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, like, even a Yankee playoff run to the World Series a couple of years ago, to me, I never felt it, like, walking around, and you just felt it. It was really neat. Just walking around the city, and I've never seen so much blue and orange since I graduated from Syracuse, but it's been wild. But Paul, you're wearing the T-shirt, so how are you feeling?
I'm just shocked the Yankees haven't won anything in 17 years. You wouldn't know it the way their fans talk. Very strange.
That's like Giants fans too, by the way.
Exactly. 17 years, really? Okay. No. The Knicks are unique because everybody likes them. Everybody likes them. When the Giants win, when the Yankees win, God forbid if the Jets or Mets
win. Poor Nets fans. Poor Nets fans.
I mean, look.
The Nets don't exist. Move. Just move.
If I were them, I would move. Like, you tried. You tried. It didn't work. But you tried
to be the cool Brooklyn.
I mean, I don't know if this is inappropriate for our audience, but it just felt like they've been sitting in the cuck chair for the last, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Knicks are really unique, and it's not just New York City, too. It's New Jersey also. It's Long Island also. It extends up to Rockland County, New York. Like, the Knicks really are, like, this hive in the Northeast.
Every other sport.
Tri-state area here. And so, like, I went to my daughter's dance recital on Sunday morning in northern New Jersey, and it could have been a Knicks game. All the dads were wearing Knicks stuff in the crowd. It was hysterical. And so
my daughter, really pre-K, had a wear orange and blue to school day before game four. Yeah, pre-K. And, like, all the kids showed up at school in blue and orange, supported by the school.
And every single bagel shop in New Jersey and New York has been doing, like, a Jalen Brunson special, and it's, like, the Knicks colors. And, yeah, it's crazy.
And that's why I would say, like, for the Nets, like, go back to New Jersey, but I don't even think New Jersey's there for them anymore. I have a couple friends that are Nets fans, but, like, there's not a lot of them.
Just move them to Seattle and call them the Sonics. Like, just do that.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
But I would say, as kind of an outsider, because I didn't grow up in this area, I grew up in Jersey. I grew up not liking the Knicks, I would say. And every part of me, like, wanted to hate them on this run, but they're a likable team, which annoyed me. It actually annoyed me that they were likable. And there are a lot of Knicks fans, namely Connor Hughes, that, you know, can be annoying. But, I mean, you can't help but be like, all right, this is pretty cool. Like, and just seeing the way the city came together. Like, I experienced this to a degree. I wasn't an Eagles fan anymore by this point, but they won in 2017. And I was living in South Jersey at the time. That's when I just started covering the Eagles. And like what I said, over the next like 6 months leading up to the season, like everybody was just nicer. Like usually everybody's miserable in Philly. Everybody was just nicer. Like everybody, you could just like feel the energy shift. And it feels like we're doing that here with the Knicks. Like I think I underestimated how big of a deal it was going to be when they finally did it. And I will say, and just to transition to our podcast and the team we cover, like, I don't think it'll be the same, obviously, in terms of like breadth of celebration. But if the Jets ever get back to the promised land, like, it's going to be loud. Like, I think it's like
it'll be the length. It'll be less people, but they will be maybe louder.
Yeah. I think the point with the Knicks and why it's maybe one of the more unique NBA champions of all time is just the distance between the last one and the breadth of their fan base. And so like the Jets,
well, and the misery, you know, of the time in between,
and the misery, like, and the degree of misery. And so the Jets are like the only comparable one in football. I mean, maybe like the Lions or the Browns, I guess, but I don't think their fan bases are as big as the Jets fan base. And that's even splitting it with the Giants. That's just my opinion. So I really do think
this also came out of nowhere. One more point to it is like,
yes.
I mean, they're very good, but they're the 3 seed. And I don't think, I think everybody was like, oh, this Knicks team could make a nice deep run. But like, to me, like I just didn't see anybody beating
I don't think Knicks.
Yeah.
Everything I heard we have a team that can like definitely get to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe get to the championship and not win. Like I think that was the general feeling from the fans.
We spent most of the season wondering if moving on from Thibodeau was the right move.
Yeah.
Wondering why it was Mike Brown, wondering why they didn't have a plan in that head coaching search, and wondering what do we do if this doesn't work, because we might need to enter a period of tearing down again where you shed some of Brunson's salary in order to bring over some other people. And if that doesn't work, now what do you do, right? Like you kind of made your big move, and what happens next if it doesn't come all the way through? And so like apology tours to everybody, to Mike Brown, to Jalen Brunson, like apology tours all around, because I think,
they were down 2-1 to the Hawks. And like, and if you, even the end of the season, they didn't look good. Like they're like one of the more improbable NBA champions. Like
had an easy path through the East. Right.
I was about to say, but even that Boston, though, like they still won those games. Like there's been a lot of easy paths. You look at over the last 5 years, the champions have had easy paths. Like that happens. It's a war of attrition, but none of those teams dominated the way that the Knicks did.
Well, that's the thing.
Leading into the finals.
Right. They dominated. And then San Antonio was not an easy
path. Not only the dominating, but the degree of like, they were never out of any game ever. Like I've never seen anything like it. So they're one of the more exhilarating NBA. And I'm saying this as someone who's not a Knicks fan. I think they're one of the most exhilarating, impressive champions that we've ever seen, maybe in any sport, but definitely the NBA. And, you know, it pains me to say that. And who knows, maybe this will be a 1 year thing. And like they came at the exact right time, you know, before whatever the Spurs start going off or whatever is. But this is going to be a moment in history that everybody in this area is going to remember forever. And it's cool to be there for that. The Athletic did ask some reporters to like go to like watch parties and like the parade and stuff. I just like could not bring myself to do that. Like that's like a bridge too far for me. I was happy to watch from home, but
I mean, it seemed like it would have been a real nightmare getting close enough to that to make a difference, unless you had some kind of credential to get you through. Because it looked like madness. I would have loved to be there. I just can't, like, I can't handle that at this point in my life. Like I just couldn't do it. The other nice happy byproduct of this is that the Knicks assisted in the removal of the mask of Wemby, because that is not a likable person or not a likable player. And like, I think the entire NBA fan community now sees as a different thing than what they saw him as a month ago. And it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that, because he's been anointed. Nobody would call a foul on the guy. Nobody would call a flagrant on the guy. Seemed like he was untouchable. And like, it seems like that's over now. And so I'm interested to see what the perception of him comes into next season like.
He could be the villain, but he could also be a villain that wins 4 of the next 5 NBA championships.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he just needs to figure out how to play basketball. Like, I think he's just like bigger and stronger and like his limbs are everywhere. Like but he doesn't really know what he's doing on offense. But to transition back to the Jets, and then we can start going with Jets stuff.
Yeah, we just did 8.5 minutes on the Knicks.
I know. Tim, did you see who who was on the celebrity list for game 4 for the Jets? The only player listed?
No.
Brady Cook. There was a list of all the celebrities at the game, and Brady Cook somehow made it in onto the list.
He made.
Jeremy Ruckert was at the game, by the way. Poor Ruckert from Long Island did not make it onto the list. So I don't know if Brady Cook got free tickets or like how he pulled that off, but like, bravo.
Is he the only one who asked? Is that is it just like, maybe that's what it is. If you ask,
I don't even know how that works, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the other guys are trying to get World Cup tickets. And I see Patrick Mahomes was at the Messi match the other night in the box.
That was pretty sick.
I saw that Messi has won more games in Arrowhead Stadium than Derek Carr.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was a funny stat. Yeah.
Okay, Jets, let's move on. News and notes to start. You did a clip on Tippmann that's already on YouTube for us, Zach. But, you know, this is another deal where Jets are just getting the credit, right? And Muji's just like, he just keeps rolling with this stuff.
Yeah. And it's another like, if you just look at the pure contract, like it's another, you know, I don't want to say masterclass because that's probably too hyperbolic, but like he's the 15th highest paid guard. And by next year, when the contract kicks in, he'll probably be closer to 20th because guards get like 20 million a year. And if you factor in guarantees, there's no guarantees in the last 2 years. Like, I think I saw something that like the real value is like 3 years, 36 million or something like that. Like, you know, whatever you think of Joe Tippmann, like maybe he's not a star, but you paid him like a solid offensive lineman and that's what he is. And so, you know, it's another contract that while you have cap space that you're not hamstringing it, you're now locked into all five offensive linemen for next year. Like, who knows if Josh Myers and Dylan Parham will be guys that you want to be starters next year or not. We'll find out this year, but Membu, Olu, Tippmann, all here through at least 2027. And for many of them, all three of them are here through at least 2028, I should say. And I think Membu 29 and blah, blah, blah. So like it's a really good spot to be in. And it's been cool to see Muji, you know, with approval from Woody Johnson. Like Woody for a while wasn't really doing this and neither were the GMs, but signing these guys before the end of their rookie contracts, as opposed to waiting and either letting them go or drafting so poorly that you didn't have any contracts to give out. It should be said, and maybe it should have been said by more people, but Joe Douglas has drafted all of the guys that Darren Muji has extended. Like, I'm not saying Joe Douglas deserves more credit for his tenure, but he did draft those guys and the Jets are paying them now. So that is like, it's not like Muji drafted these guys, so he doesn't get credit for drafting them. But yeah, I thought it was a solid deal. I honestly was surprised by the number. I actually thought it was going to be a little bit less, but ultimately the way it was structured was pretty good. And it makes sense in the logic of the market of guards and interior linemen and whatnot.
Just another very grown-up move by Darren Muji. Yeah. I think when he got hired here, a lot of people were concerned about his age and his lack of experience and wondering if he was built for this job. And he hasn't really given you any evidence to suggest that he's not built for it. Like, everything he's done has been very kind of plan forward and future looking. And as you said at the top of your soliloquy there, Zach, like, these contracts are all going to age really well. And while it looks good now, it's going to look better in a year. And to just continue behaving in an adult-like fashion is not something that we as Jets fans are used to seeing. And so, like, I got a text in one of the Badlands chats the other day that was like, are the Jets just being normal? Which is like, it really is. It's shocking. And it's really, really positive and fun to see. So, yeah, I mean, this is another, like, this is probably the last checkbox on the if you put together an off-season wish list in the second week of January, this was probably the final item on it that was like, hey, make sure you get Tippmann locked in for a couple of years because we really like what he's done since he's moved to guard. And so now you kind of go into training camp with like a clean bill of health and you're like, all right, here we go. Like, we kind of did everything we needed to do. Now it's just about the coaching and putting the players together on the field.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, other news and notes, some injuries. We already talked about Sadiq. That's still there. You know, draft superstar Gabe Klubnik. Also back spasms. Now, Zach, what can you tell us about the bumps and bruises?
Yeah, Glenn, so they canceled practice today. I believe you mentioned that. And he said that Klubnik would have practiced today, so I guess there's nothing to worry about there. It's not ideal that he missed all this time because you kind of got to decide if you have the right quarterbacks in place to be your QB2. I don't know that we saw enough to say that you do, so do they sign some before camp, or do you wait until teams like the Titans start moving on from guys or whatever, like any of these young, like Spencer Rattler, if Zach Wilson outplays him in camp in New Orleans, like maybe they're just waiting out the market because they don't like, you know, like what's out there right now. Cooper Rush and Josh Dobbs are the like best free agent options. So, but anyway, Sadiq, like Glenn didn't sound concerned at all that he would miss any real time. Like he'll be back for the start of training camp by the sounds of it. And that's really the reps that matter. Like this is all pretty light work this time of the year, but it's going to be big for Klubnik if he wants to win that QB2 job. And it's going to be big for Sadiq if he wants to play a pretty big role as a rookie.
Any thoughts, Paul? We can move on to you know what I want to get to is Braylon Allen, because Zach's summer, every annual summer love affair is back. And
I'm back.
And Braylon's bulked up
a lot, right? He's like 15 pounds heavier.
He's 250, he said. Yeah. And I think he said it was, I forget like the context, but he said something like it was kind of by accident. And like the way he was going, he was just kind of like putting on muscle, and he thought he could have, if he didn't like adjust something, then he would have kept going and been like 260, but he stopped. He said his body fat percentage is the lowest it's ever been. I mean, it's classic, like this time of the year, best shape I've ever been, guy coming off an injury.
I mean, here's the thing is nobody was complaining about his lack of muscles the last couple of years. Like
If anything, that was the thing that everybody was excited about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something that he needed to work on. Are they going to help you hold on to the ball near the goal line in Miami? Like that's if it does, then I'm in. Right. Like I want to do that, but you already looked pretty good in the uniform. So I don't know, kind of that one doesn't really do anything for me. I just want to see him play like the guy that he looks like. I really want it to work with Braylon Allen. I'm officially worried, but we'll see.
I would say I'm ready to get hurt again is what I would say. Like I just
your heart
I just
is
he's gonna and ready I just know to he's hurt. gonna come out and practice one and like take a long run for a touchdown, or they're going to do tackling. He's going to stiff arm somebody. And I'm going to be like, you know what? Maybe this is the year actually. So,
and then the season will start.
Yeah. Zach, do you think that Glenn canceled practice because Cade Klubnik wasn't ready and he wanted to hide the fact that he's still hurt?
This is a great question. I think
that's a lot of drama for a potential QB2.
I think he canceled it because he was worried about how good Klubnik would look, and he didn't want there to be any questions about Geno.
Didn't want a quarterback controversy heading into the summer. Fair enough. All right. Speaking of standouts at camp, we're gonna do position battles after, but first standouts where Zach tells us who looked great, and then we get a vibe check on it from Paul.
You know, as always, with the caveat that we shouldn't overreact to anything this time of the year. The one I'll start with is maybe kind of an obvious one.
Can I guess?
Sorry.
Okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, well, who would your guest be? Because he's probably the next one.
A.D. Mitchell.
yeah. but yeah, Membu, I was going to say, like, look, like you shouldn't evaluate O-line or D-line this time of the year ultimately, but like, I just think he's going to take a leap. Like, he's dominating his reps and team drills. Like, David Bailey was having a hard time with him, which is expected. But I just think this kid is – I mean, last year he exceeded expectations, as we know. And the sky's the limit for him. Like, I think he's has Pro Bowl potential as soon as this year. So I started with him. And then Mitchell was the obvious one because, you know, I've been tweeting about him a bunch and writing about it. But he's been making plays, and him and Geno have clear chemistry. Like, after our podcast and where we're in, I think we talked about that the last pod. Like then they had like a great touchdown to the back of the end zone during 7-on-7s where Geno like threw it to a place where only he can get it. He went up and jumped. He caught it, got both his feet in bounds. There's a lot of plays like that at the sideline and things like that. You know, he's someone who's probably always going to look good in this setting, I would guess. I don't know how he looked in Indy, but he's really fast. He's really tall. He's really athletic. He's pretty good at getting open. And I don't know that the Jets corners like scare you right this second, I would say. So I think he's going to look good in this setting. But I, you know, this is the first time you think about he's going into a season as a no doubt starter with a team that he knows believes in him, and he's going to get a chance to be the number two receiver. And so, you know, I'm pretty high on him, and we'll see how he looks in camp. And the drops were an issue last year. We'll see if they are as we go through this, but I feel pretty good about him. I'm not ready to like declare he's like the no doubt number two. Like, I still think he has a lot to prove when the game start, but the talent is obviously there.
Yeah. As for Membu, like, I'm irrationally excited about how good Harmon Membu is. I think some people are worrying that we haven't heard a ton about David Bailey. And I think it's just more a function of like, he's going against Membu and probably Fashanu for some looks in camp. And so like, I'm not really like, we have time to figure out David Bailey. I'd be more actually worried if Bailey was winning a bunch of battles. I'd be like, well, what's going on with Membu, right? Like, I want my second year right tackle to be dominating. And so all positive news there. And like, man, it really feels like they knocked that one out of the park. As far as AD Mitchell goes, I really loved him coming out of Texas. He played really well in the college football playoff that year before he got drafted. And, you know, I'm starting to wonder, like, what happened in Indy? Because since he's gotten here, there was a couple drops last season, but most of his time was playing with tough quarterbacks. And like, he still didn't really get a full opportunity last year. He said all the right things. He's built the right way, seems to have the right mentality. And now like, national media is starting to pay attention, and like, fantasy media too. Fantasy media is all over AD Mitchell right now. Talking about the value you can get for him in fantasy drafts. And honestly, as a Jets fan, it kind of like, it gives me like the abused dog syndrome a little bit. Like, I start to get like, oh, like, why are national people talking about us? Like, I don't mush it. Don't jinx it. Right. But I'm excited. Like, I'm excited about AD Mitchell, and I would really love to know what the real story is in Indy, because he sounds like a good kid. Like, I don't understand why he got pushed as far down that depth chart as he did. Now, that was a good wide receiver room, but you would have thought somebody would have seen the raw materials and wanted to pull him along a little bit. Right. So until we see it in regular season for the Jets, it's still just talk, but there's a lot to be excited about there, I think.
Who's next, Zach?
Yeah, I'll say someone who I've talked about a bit. Maybe I talked about him in the last pod, but I have been pretty impressed with Nashawn Wright, the corner. I feel pretty good about, you know, as we sit here today, if I'm projecting the starters, I would have him as the second outside guy across from Stevens. Really good size. He's made a bunch of plays on the ball. That body type is just very unique for a corner, and he's long-limbed, and he seems to have a really good personality. I think he's very well-liked in every locker room he's been in. He has a cool story. Like, he bounced around the league, and then he caught on with the Bears last year and had 5 picks. They need guys who are making plays and think you're going to get that with him. And, you know, again, I'm not like judging Izzy Thomas yet because it's early, but I didn't notice anything necessarily, which could actually be a good thing because I didn't notice him getting beat necessarily. But I didn't really see AZ Thomas going against like Garrett Wilson and AD Mitchell and Geno. So I'm curious to see if that's like a legit competition or if they think Wright is the answer. You know, they got him on a really reasonable contract for the season he had. That kind of says that the league wasn't as into him as you would have thought. But I've been impressed with him in terms of like guys on defense. Like, it's harder to notice the defensive guys, especially like, you know, pass rushers. I don't really have a lot of guys I'm going to say here that are pass rushers because there's just like, they have to stop at a certain point. So it's hard to evaluate them, but on the back end, you can see a little bit something. And I liked what I saw from him.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, and I think I mentioned this on a pod we did a few weeks ago, but like, Nashawn Wright is kind of in a position in his career where it's a little bit now or never for him, because he just had a really good year with Chicago, like you said, and then the league didn't seem to be all that interested in him. So I feel like in terms of asking for the right ingredients mentally, like, you're in a spot with him where he needs to go do it now if he wants to earn a contract, whereas AZ is in the second year, missed a good portion of his first year with some injuries. So I think he's got some time in his mind to still build an NFL career. And so, like, I'm okay, I think, with Nashawn Wright winning that battle and then helping AZ continue to grow in the background. So that kind of seems like the ideal way for it to work out for me at this juncture, right? Who knows where it comes down, but to have two big corners who you feel can compete for a CB2 spot is also a pretty good spot to be. So.
Is that it, Zach, or do you have one more?
I'll throw a couple more real quick. I don't need to go too deep, but I'd say two rookie DBs. I noticed VJ Payne yesterday, which is why he's fresh on my mind. In their Wednesday practice, the 7th round safety, he made a couple plays against Bailey Zappi. I think he knocked a pass down. He just has really interesting body type and athleticism. And then Pons, who I was already high on anyway, but he had a great pick yesterday. You know, I think he's legitimately competing with Brownlee, I'd say, more for nickel than he is competing for those guys for the outside job. But they are going to give him reps at both sides. But I, you know, if I'm predicting right now, I'd say right outside, Pons inside week one. But I could be wrong, depending on how Brownlee does. And then another one that just popped into my head was Isaiah Williams, team MVP last year, which is going to be something we that feels like we look back on. It's like, what a year that was, the when the punt returner that was cut with team MVP. But it feels like there's a role for him on offense as like a gadget guy, and I think they'll use him like that, on top of him being maybe the best punt return in the NFL. And he's looked pretty solid. He's caught all of his passes that were thrown to him, and I've been pretty impressed with him so far, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Pons getting positional flexibility reps early is to me, that just means that they see him as both, and it doesn't necessarily give you any indication on what it's going to be this year. I think nickel's probably a more natural place for him to start. It's a little bit less responsibility. It kind of fits what the NFL might view as his body type a little bit more right now. But the fact that they're giving him reps on the outside too means that, hey, long term, you're going to be a part of this team a long time. You're probably going to be asked to play on the outside at some point. So let's start getting you in your education now. And I'm totally okay with that. And like, wherever, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get your best 11 on the field on defense. And so if that fit at first is in the slot, great. And then if eventually it becomes the outside, great. Right. But to get the experience playing both is going to be super valuable for him. As far as Isaiah Williams, he seems to be in the mix, man. Like, he gets passes on when they're running offensive sets. So who am I, after what he put on the field last year, to be like, Isaiah Williams shouldn't be a part of the offense? He's only a special teams player. Like, he looked good. I don't really care that he got cast off by a couple other teams. He's a Glenn guy. Glenn's brought him along with him, and he did nothing but good things last year. And so, you know, wherever he fits, again, you get your best 11 on the field. And if that means that he's getting some offensive burn, like, I'm okay with that.
All right, let's move on to position battles, as we have a month to think about these before training camp actually opens. We'll start with the glamorous stuff. QB2. Let's just be glad it's QB2 and not QB1. But set the stage there, Zach. Obviously, you already talked about Klubnik and the injury, but like, what is this going to look like in a month?
I feel like maybe they go into camp with this group and see what you have for the first week or two, or however long you have to do it for. Maybe you bring in a Cooper Rush or a Josh Jobs just to have a real arm in there, and you bump out, I don't know, Brady Cook, I guess. But like, I did not watch these guys thinking like the Jets will be fine if they have to play them. That's what I would say. Like, it's, I like some of the tools Klubnik has. He's not ready to play in the NFL yet, probably. We'll see in the preseason games. Like, it's gonna be fun watching him in the preseason, but bring another guy in. And like I said, maybe that'll come after cutdowns, and like, maybe Levis sneaks away for a 7th round pick, or Spencer Rattler, or somebody I'm not thinking of. But like, I go into every season assuming whoever is in the quarterback room is going to start at some point. Last year, when Brady Cook made the team on the practice squad, I was like, he's going to play at some point. Like, you just know it. That's the way things go around here. Until the Jets get some good fortune, like, you assume the worst is going to happen. And the worst includes you playing every single quarterback that's in the building. Like, that's why I was surprised they didn't play Hendon Hooker last year. I was pretty sure he was going to play at some point. But yeah, I don't feel great about this QB2 room. Ultimately, for a team that's not trying to win a lot of games, like, I don't think it's a huge deal necessarily. But I don't know. You can go into the season with Bailey Zappe as your number two. Sorry.
I don't know if it's fair to say it's a team that's not trying to win a lot of games. They made a lot of veteran signings, dude. I know what you mean. They're not expected to win a lot of games. I'll give you that, but like, I think they're trying to win, and I don't know. I've kind of come a little bit down the road on this quarterback thing. There was a time a couple months ago where I was like, we've been burned by this quarterback two thing so many times. Like, you really need to figure it out. But the reality is that they've survived seasons where Sam Darnold got mono and you were down to Luke Falk by the time you were in week 4. And like, they've lived through some crazy stuff quarterback wise. And there's always going to be somebody out there that you can get to start a couple games if you need to. Now, it's not going to look good. None of those scenarios actually worked out well for the Jets. But I do think, like you said, that somebody will probably shake loose at the end of camp if it's needed. And I think the best case scenario is that it ends up not being needed. Like maybe Bailey Zappe. I mean, Bailey Zappe played, he yeah. played snaps for the Patriots, right? Like he's, this is a quarterback who has played in the NFL. Would I expect him to look good in camp? No, because he's not like a top level NFL guy, but he's at least been around before. And I think somebody else will shake loose. I don't know who it's going to be, but there will be a camp cut down. There will be somebody that another team feels is expendable and tradable by the end of training camp. And if that's the route you need to go, fine. Or be committed to your decision at QB2, whether that's Klubnik or Zappe. And I don't mean be committed because they're bad and it looks good PR wise if you're committed. I mean, if you really believe that those guys can be the QB2, then like, go for it, man. But you better be right. So whatever your plan is, I'm cool to stick to it. Just, you know, make sure that it's an NFL level caliber quarterback so that we don't have a Luke Falk or a Brady Cook or something like that happening again right. in the middle of the season. Because like you said, they probably will play at some point.
Celebrity Mike Brady Cook. Celebrity Brady Cook.
Yeah, true.
CB2.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, so don't have a whole lot to add. I'll just say it's between Nashawn Wright and AZ Thomas. I think if they thought AZ showed them enough to hand him the starting job, they wouldn't have felt the need to bring in Wright probably. So Thomas was brought in as a guy that everybody viewed as a developmental guy. He wound up getting thrown in and playing more, got hurt, so he wasn't able to develop in the way that you would have liked. But he's number one now, which has been trippy to see. It's the first time they have a number one since Sauce left. And whenever like the numbers of the guys you've covered for a few years change, it trips me out. Like we see Quinnen Williams' number out there, even Michael Clemens' number. I got used to seeing it attached to his his body. So that part
got 72 now.
I forget. It's somebody. I think it might be one of the rookie offensive linemen. Maybe I'm not positive. Cooper.
That's a heavy responsibility for somebody to wear.
It is. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't retire it, to be honest with you. But,
do you think this AZ Thomas, Nashawn Wright competition is a competition, or do you think it's one and two at this point?
No, I think it is. The hard part for us evaluating stuff in the spring is we're not there for every practice. We're there for every mini camp, or they're like once a week during OTA. So, you know, for all I know, when I'm not there, AZ Thomas is making a bunch of plays. And those are like three or four other practices that I'm not seeing. So that's why I can't make any like definitive statements. It's just my early prediction. And, you know, they really went veteran heavy this offseason, as you mentioned before. And Wright's a veteran who knows what he's doing out there, and they need more of those guys on defense. So I think I would say Thomas probably has to win the job from Wright is my prediction, but I'm not ready to say it's like definitely Wright's job.
Yeah. The good news is that they're both, like we were saying earlier, they're both good ingredients to a room. You have a young guy who's trying to continue to develop, and you have a veteran who knows what he's doing, who's put interceptions on tape before in a different team and is playing for his career. So.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Secondary heavy here in this segment. We go from cornerback to the nickel spot.
Yeah, I mean, Brownlee, he came in hot. Fans loved him for a bit. He had a fun personality, forced their first turnover of the season, I believe, in London. Was it in London? I think it was. But he also, the things that the Titans didn't like about him kind of reared their ugly head. Like the penalties are really, really bad. He had a lot of them. Then he got hurt too, so you lost some development. Like I think you kind of forget how young he is too. It was his second year, I believe, second or third. I can't remember. I think it was his second year last year. So you know, you got him, and then you got Pons. He invested a second round pick in. Like, so who are the Jets more motivated to get this job to? Like, maybe they don't need to give it to him in week one, but Pons, you don't go out of your way to get him in the second round if you don't believe he can come in and contribute right away for a team that won three games last year when Brownlee was the nickel. So I lean Pons. I think, like I've talked about plenty of times here, I'm very high on him, and I think he's ready. So that'll be a fun one to watch in camp, though, because they're both going to get an equal opportunity, I think.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's holding Pons off. It's where do the coaches want to put him, right? So if it's at nickel, sorry, Jarvis Brownlee. And if it's on the outside, sorry, Nashawn Wright, because I don't think anybody's holding Pons out of this starting lineup here. So, you know, it's, I guess it's a matter of which train tracks do you want to stand on, because D'Angelo Pons is coming.
What a nice way to put it. All right, and staying in the secondary for one more, number two safety.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this one. So I'd say
in this scenario, we're assuming that Minkah is playing safety, right? That nickel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think his primary position will be safety. He'll play a lot in the nickel. But I think he split it like 50-50 in Miami, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I'd say Minkah and, you know, right now, like Andre Sisco, I think the team likes maybe more than the fan base and the media does. I'm not saying I think he's 100% going to be a starter. I think he will be outplayed in training camp by Dane Belton, and I think they're motivated to develop Malachi Moore. Like, you don't want to throw away that entire draft class, and they should not all be backups in their second year. And if AZ Thomas is, and I'm not saying that's going to motivate their decision-making, but they were really high on Malachi Moore last year. I feel like he's kind of flown under the radar a bit and nobody's talking about him anymore, because I don't think he was particularly good, but he was a fourth round rookie too. So that's gonna be a fun competition to watch, because those are, between Sisco, Belton, and Malcolm Moore, like, those three guys are really different players, to be honest with you. So Belton's the one I like the most out of the three who will start. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Cisco's the week one starter, but I don't know that he's gonna be the starter in week 5, 7, 10, whatever.
And what about VJ Payne? Has he gotten any burn back there?
With the backups, I wouldn't say he's a competition to start, but, you know, if he can play his way onto the field, then that's a pretty good scenario, because he got a seventh round pick. I do like him a lot though, and I think he'll play on special teams and make the 53 ultimately.
Yeah, big body tweener to see where he like ends up settling into as a rotational player on defense. I'm sure he will get some, again, I agree with you, I don't think he's going to start, but like, I'm sure he will get some run on defense. I'm interested to see where it is, because they're kind of calling him just a general defensive back now at this point. So you could see him end up popping up anywhere. As for Malachi Moore, yeah, he's like the forgotten man. But yeah, if we remember when he came out, like, what we loved about him was that he played the star role in Saban's defense, which is like the smart, heady, kind of do anything, move all around the formation type guy. I think he got caught in his rookie year a lot of times trying to do too much. There was a clip that went viral of Aaron Glenn saying to him on the sideline, like, dude, I just need you to do your job. Like, just do what I'm asking you to do. You don't need to do everything. You don't need to save everybody here. And so I think he probably struggled with the transition to the NFL a little bit, of being one of the better players on the field at Alabama to now you're in the NFL and it's a different story, and you might just be asked to do kind of a specific role instead. And so I am not low on Malachi Moore. I think he will be a good pro, and we just need to give it a little bit of time and give him that adjustment period. I think I'm excited about Dane Belton. Like, pretty much every Giant fan I talked to was like, you're gonna love Dane Belton. He's a really, really fun player. So I'm not ready to say that safety is a strength of this team yet, but I think they have a lot of good, interesting parts and ingredients, and we'll see what the coaching staff is going to put together makeup wise to put a product on the field, because I think they're, you at least now have the horses, where in the past few years, I don't think you had the horses very much. And as far as Sisco, I think he lost a lot of us in the Jacksonville game last year when he pulled up lame on a tackle and then stayed on the field and seemed like he pretended to be hurt. I don't want to say that the guy was pretending to be hurt, but like that play was weird. And I think he lost a lot of fans there. So if it were up to me, I'd prefer it to be Belton and Malachi Moore.
What was one of the best positions on this team last year was kicker, but that guy's gone. So Zach, fill us in on the latest in the kicking competition.
Man, just think about the number of kickers that have been rostered by this team. Even if you just look in the Aaron Glenn era, I would say. So you start last offseason, they had Harrison Mevis, who wound up being pretty good, was not good for the Jets, and Caden Davis was an undrafted rookie. Both of those guys look really bad at the start of camp. They signed Nick Folk, cut Caden Davis. Get to the end of camp, cut Harrison Mevis. Nick Folk has an amazing season. They go into free agency. They'd like to bring him back, but not enough to you know, stop the Falcons from signing him. So he signs elsewhere. They signed Lenny Krieg, the German kicker. Then they signed Will Farron out of BYU. And then they signed Cade York. Will Farron, bad in rookie camp, cut. Lenny Krieg, bad in OTAs, cut. Young Wei Koo signed. He's bad in OTAs. He's cut. They signed Jason Sanders, who was cut the day before by the Giants. And so now it's Jason Sanders and Kid York. Kid York, who missed two field goals pretty badly, I would say, on Tuesday. He missed them on Tuesday, where one hit the upright and the other he just missed. And so I don't know if maybe he's long for the team still. Maybe they're tired of doing the shuffle. But yeah, we're down to a kicker in Sanders, who had a hip injury that was so bad it knocked him out of all of last season. And, you know, John Harbaugh thought he can't kick in the wind by the time he saw him. And then you have Cade York, who has converted 72% of his field goals in the NFL. So it's not the most inspiring room. If Sanders is healthy and looks like he used to, like, that's, he's a really good kicker. But I mean, the hip thing was bad enough that he didn't play all of last season. And anytime a kicker has an injury that bad, that's, it's not ideal. So I don't feel great about this room. If I'm predicting out of these two right now, I'd say Sanders. But for all I know, somebody else is going to be brought in at some point, and we'll keep the carousel going.
Yeah, I mean,
there's always available kickers. That's for sure.
That's true. That's true.
Paul.
Like you said, York is a 73% career field goal percentage. Jason Sanders is 85%. Jason Sanders is the clear better kicker here. It's just about that injury. I think he missed an entire year in 23 or 24 with that hip injury. That said, the Jets have had some success with that in the past. Nick Folk, the first time around, Nick Folk, he missed a large amount of time with the Cowboys before he came to the Jets because of an injury. And I believe it was a hip injury also. And then he kicked for the Jets for a few years and kind of resuscitated his career. Jason Myers was one that was cast off that came to the Jets and resuscitated his career. So the Jets have had some success with that in the past. But if Jason Sanders is healthy, he's the kicker of this team. It's just going to be a matter of making sure that he can make it all the way through camp and make it all the way through the season. And you're probably going to have to stash a guy in the practice squad as well, just in case he goes down or needs to miss a couple weeks or whatever the case may be, because kickers in the NFL seem to be getting hurt at a higher rate than they used to. Like a lot of teams are swapping in kickers midseason now. And so I'm okay with keeping York as like the big leg guy that you swap in for a couple games if needed, but I would much rather roll with Jason Sanders.
All right, before we say goodbye, we did get one question in here for you, Zach. How has Omar Cooper looked?
Yeah, I think he's been solid. I'd say for him, he'll be better when the pads come on and it's more contact. He's after the catch is his strength. And, you know, I think him and Gino are still trying to build their chemistry. I don't think he's someone who's like necessarily burning corners down the field, but he makes most of the catches that are catchable. And, you know, I haven't noticed anything bad necessarily, but I think he's more likely to be impressive in a after the catch setting when he can make plays and get going. And I still feel pretty good about him being the number three receiver this year, I would say.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that fans come on to slowly. I mean, there's a lot of fans who are excited about him because they saw what he did at Indiana. So I don't know if that's a fair characterization, yeah. But I think he's the type of guy that it's not necessarily going to be like a wow play in the preseason or in training camp where you fall in love with Omar Cooper. I think it's going to be more of a body of work over time, much like we experienced with guys like Quincy Enunwa or Jericho Cotchery, where, yes, they did make some awesome eye-popping yards after the catch plays, but more than anything, what you look back on fondly with those guys is how they were there, how they showed up for work, and how they were consistent in their approach. And so I still feel really like I'm not even paying attention to what Omar Cooper is doing yet in OTAs, because I don't think that's what his value to us is going to be. I think it's going to be more of a long view with him.
All right. So the NFL takes the closest thing it has to a break right now. Zach, what are you planning to do?
What am I planning? I'm going to work on some stories I have long-term. Going to do some relaxing, try to go to the beach. My family is going on a trip. We're spending the 4th of July in the great state of Ohio because my father-in-law wants to go to the Rock and Roll and the Pro Football Hall of Fames. And
that's cool.
Yeah, so it'll get an Airbnb. It'll be a nice family trip, but just hoping for a summer that's not too harsh with humidity so I can drive to various shore towns and enjoy the summer, but not any big trips. Last year was our big trips because we got married and then we went to Greece, and we don't have anything as exciting to look forward to this year, but we'll be coming back this summer with some pods for you guys. It just won't be as frequently, obviously.
Yeah. Paul, anything big for you this summer?
I mean, a couple of vacations, but like, unfortunately I'm not like Zach. I have children, I have a job. And so, my job doesn't have a natural down period in the middle of the summer. So I'll be plugging away as normal here, and I'll be ready to pod whenever you guys are ready.
I'll be texting you guys. I'm so bored. What are you guys doing?
everything that keeps piling up for me, because World Cup has taken over my life because of the day job. And I just keep telling people, like, I'll get back to you on July 22nd. Like, I'll get back to you on July 22nd. I literally can't think about this until then. But trying to still think about the Jets a little bit on top of all of that. But we will be back, as Zach said, throughout the summer a little bit. And then we will get back into our normal regular cadence come training camp and onward from there. Thank you to everybody who tuned in live. Great numbers, despite this being kind of like a downtime, weird time in the afternoon. But thanks for everybody for tuning in. And if you're catching us on the audio later or the replay on video, definitely give us the 5 stars, the thumbs up, all that stuff. And we will talk to everybody soon.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.